21. I know we have visitors with us. We're certainly glad that you are here. And you may be wondering what in the world is going on with the top 10 hymns. Is this an official list? Well, I want to clarify that. Last year, between the months of September and October, we asked our members to tell us what their personal top 10 hymns were. And so as those were turned in, we counted them up and we got our top 10 collectively. And that's what we're looking at this morning, our top 10 hymns. We are at number 7. It is number 680 in our hymnals. It is number 7 on our top 10 list. It is Be With Me, Lord. The accompanying Bible passage for this hymn is the last part of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Which says, never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. This hymn is a little more special to me than some of the others that we've looked at, because this is actually number 1 for 2 of our members who attend here. The comment box next to this hymn, there's just a few things that were written by some of our members. They include statements like these: we need him now more than we ever have. The Lord is with me always. And another member commented, a step without him is always a misstep. The words were written by Thomas O. Chisholm, and the music was written by Lloyd O. Sanderson in 1934. The copyright date for this hymn is 1935. And so Lloyd O. Sanderson is one of the great hymn writers from the 1900s. He was born in 1901. And he passed from this life in 1992. He was born in Arkansas in a small log cabin home with no money. His parents had no money, and yet he was musically inclined. Sanderson wrote a book, an autobiography. The title of that book is The Lord Has Been Mindful of Me. He explains how this hymn, Be With Me, Lord, came to be. Here is an excerpt from his book. Be With Me, Lord is perhaps my most popular hymn. In Springfield in 1934, I was working on my first hymnal for the Gospel Advocate. At about 2 a.m. one Tuesday, a melody came to mind. I found it difficult to get rid of it, so I stopped and I wrote it down, lest I forget. Even then, I kept seeing and sensing a harmony, which bothered my work, so I turned and I wrote it out completely. It's a rare meter. 11 notes in a phrase, 10 notes in the next, 11 in the third, and 10 in the fourth. I couldn't come up with or find the words to fit it. About 8 days passed when I received a letter from Thomas O. Chisholm, who had long written words for me. He wrote that he had retired on that same night I was working on this melody, and a theme for a poem seemed to command his attention. Finally, after midnight of that same Tuesday, he got up and wrote out the poem. He was sending it to me to see what I thought of it. It was an exact fit for my music. I bought the poem, and the twain have been together since. It's interesting. Sanderson says on the night that he came up with this rhythm, the 11 notes, and then the 10, then the 11, then the 10, locked into his mind. He couldn't find words to fit to it. The same night, he says, this man, Chisholm, wrote the words to it. And so we have Thomas Obadiah Chisholm, who wrote over 1,200 poems that were often seen in religious periodicals. A good number of his poems are now prominent hymns that we sing today. Chisholm is 35 years older than Sanderson, and he was hindered by serious health problems for most of his life. This is part of a letter that was written by Chisholm in 1941. So this is 6 years after this hymn was actually officially copyrighted. He wrote this in a letter 6 years later. My income has not been large at any time due to impaired health in the earlier years, which has followed me until now. However, I must not fail to record here the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that he has given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, for which I am filled with astonishing gratefulness. Chisholm also wrote, great is thy faithfulness. It's interesting for us, in the time we live in now, in the seats we're sitting in now, in the cars we drove in to get here, to look at and to think about these two men, Chisholm and Sanderson, the difficulties they faced, the great challenges in their life that they came across. And yet, together, the way that they wrote and the words that were written were combined for this hymn, "Be with me, Lord." Two men who faced great struggle that we would never know or fully understand, understood who their God was. And it's a beautiful picture to watch them work together and to put this song together for us today. What does it say? "Be with me, Lord. I cannot live without thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I need thy strength to lean myself upon." What a powerful, powerful phrase. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I ask you to turn to Acts chapter 17. Look at Acts 17, where Paul deals with this very point that God has given to us the lives that we have and enjoy. Acts 17 and verse 24, Paul says, "God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all of the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and their boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord to the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." There is a fundamental truth about Almighty God that we cannot ignore or miss as we consider a passage that is, "Be with me, Lord." Paul says he gave to all things life and breath and everything that is needed. Understand that there is no living thing on this earth that lacks because of his hand and because of his power. And we are typified in that truth that he has given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. This is the basis for saying, "Be with me, Lord." He has given to us life. He gives us air, and the air that we breathe, and all things that we need to survive. And someone who would know that and understand it and turn to him in prayer or in an hour of concern to say, "Be with me." That is not a vain cry. It's not empty. It is a plea to our God and to our Father. Our relationship with him is real. He knows us intimately. And it is not just that he knows us, because he knows all people. It's that he knows us. He knows you. And for you in faith to turn to him and say, "Be with me, Lord." Have you done that? Has there been a moment in time when you were afraid for your life, or you didn't know what was coming next, and you said, "Dear God, be with me. I don't know what's going to happen, but I need you now." How did that turn out? How did that go for you? You're here. You're here today. And so we turn to him, maybe in fear or concern, or maybe in great faith. And I hope that is the case. God says, "I have given to you the breath of air that you breathe. I am with you. I cannot live without you, Lord, nor would I try." It is a beautiful plea of faith. The third verse says, "Be with me, Lord, and if dangers threaten, if storms of trial burst above my head, if lashing seas leap everywhere about me, they cannot harm or make me feel afraid." Look at Acts chapter 4. We're going to watch again this truth in the book of Acts being applied to the disciples. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29, the disciples know that they're in great trouble. The council has come down upon the apostles and insisted that they never preach in the name of Jesus again. They are beaten. The apostles are beaten. They are sent away and told again, "Do not preach in his name." They come to the members of the church who have already been saved, who believe in Almighty God, and they say, "This is what happened to us. This is what they are saying to us." Again, fear bursting above my head, lashing seas everywhere about me. If these things take place, help me, Lord, that I may not be afraid. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29, this is a part of their prayer. "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And if dangers threaten us in our lives, what do? We go to God as we should, as we see in the New Testament, and we say, "Dear Lord God, be with us." That's their cry. Be with us. Give us strength that we may speak with boldness. What does the Lord do? What does he do in this moment in Acts chapter 4? It says to us the place where they were assembled, it was shaken, it trembled, and they knew that he was with them, that they should go out. The prayer was appropriate. It was according to God's will. Let's go out and let's do this work. When? When things are easy? When my car's running well? When the AC and the heat work? No. When the pressure's being applied? Give us strength now. Don't you see the request? Be with me, Lord. I know what you want, but I also know what men are saying. Be with me. I'm going to go. I'm going to step out, and I'm going to do the work that you've called us to do because I know that it's right. Be with us. He doesn't leave them to wonder. The earth shakes beneath their feet, and they know we must do this thing. God is with us, come what may. The request is in the hymn. Be with me, Lord, so that they cannot harm or make me feel afraid. How does he do that? Is it the strength within me? Can I stand up against every false claim or every individual that rails on me or says to me that I'm the liar? That I'm saying things that are no longer true? It's not accepted by society? Go back into your house and be quiet. We don't want to hear from you. I need to be saying now more than ever, be with me, Lord. Stand with me, because no one's with me here. The world's saying to stop. The world's saying no more. The world is shutting us down as we look around, and we must cry out to God, be with me, Lord. This hymn is powerful. And it is deep, and we need to sing it with purpose. We need to sing it to each other that we are not alone. We are asking God to be with us, not as we do whatever we wish, but as he wishes that we would walk in his truth. Let me show you how deep this hymn gets and how powerful it is for every soul in this room. It is found in the fourth verse. It took me a while. When I read this hymn and I studied these words and I wondered and considered and pondered what it meant, be with me, Lord, when loneliness overtakes me. What does that mean to me? Have I been lonely? Have I been alone? Yes. Have I felt all alone? Have I been down in that low spot in my life when I thought that no one cared or no one knew what was happening in my life? Certainly. That's not what this passage, this stanza is talking about. This verse in this song is not talking about whether or not I felt alone before. Be with me, Lord, listen to it, when loneliness overtakes me. When I must weep amid the fires of pain. And when shall come the hour of my departure. For worlds unknown, O Lord, be with me then. Wow. It is not, I feel alone today. No one's called me. No one's talked to me. No. This is zeroing in on a moment in time in our lives that if the Lord tarries, we will all face, and you will be alone. It is when you're in your final years, when all of the hairs on your head are gray, when your children and your grandchildren have grown up and don't seem to bother to call you very often. When I must weep alone amid the fires of pain. My body doesn't work like it should. I can't go out. I can't see. I'm just here. I'm stuck here. And tears fall from my eyes because I am forced to deal with the fires of pain. And when shall come? I know that's what the author is saying, because he says, and when shall come the hour of my departure. It is creeping upon me. I am there in my moment in my life, and we will all see it if the Lord tarries. That in the hour of departure, when I can't breathe, when I've been told to lay down, that medicines will be given and applied so that I can be comfortable, that my hour of departure is upon me, and I know that I will now go to worlds unknown, not known to me. I've never stepped into those worlds. I don't know what's coming. I have the scriptures. I know what the Lord's told me. But I am now bound for worlds unknown, that I will cry out, O Lord, be with me then. The God, the Almighty God, my Creator, who I have trusted in my entire life. Don't you see with me, as you sit and listen to these statements that I'm making to you about God, the Creator, and His truth, that I'm saying it, that I'm going to step into a moment of time in my life when I will see this moment. My hour of departure is at hand, and who will I cry to? Will I be smashing the nurse button to come and assist me again? Or will I be humbled in my thoughts and in my mind and say, O Lord, be with me now? This hymn and these lessons are here for us to think about it now. Will you turn to Almighty God and to say, Lord, I've trusted in you every step of my life. Ever since I've come to know you, I have trusted in you. You've been with me. You've seen me through to this moment. Oh, Lord, be with me now. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, gave to us some words about aging in this time. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. You see what the wisest man who ever lived says to us about aging? Remember your Creator in your youth, because there's coming a day, young man, young woman, young lady, there is coming a day when you will say to yourself, I have no pleasure in these days. I'm ready to go. Solomon talks to us about aging and the way that that works in our bodies, that the grinders, the teeth, they wear out. The eyes, they grow dim. The windows of our house, the eyes grow dim. We can't see the way we used to see. And down in verse 6, Solomon says, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Remember your Creator before these things fall apart. That's the point. Verse 7, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. The statement is, remember your Creator in your youth. What's the wisdom of that? Because when you get old, you're going to be crotchety and you're not going to want to talk to anybody. You're going to be angry about everything and the world's not like it used to be and you hate everything around you. Is that the point? Remember your Creator now? Is that the point? Could it be? No, it can't be. Remember your Creator now and learn to say to Him, be with me, Lord. I cannot live without Thee. I dare not step in my youth to take one step alone. Why would I? It's a misstep. It's the wrong direction. I can look around me and see the world falling apart and young people giving their lives over to all sorts of addiction, to alcohol and to sexual pleasure and to the passions of the flesh. And what is its end? In your youth, when you are young, cry out, be with me, Lord. So that when those ages come upon us and we get to that moment in time when we need assistance in breathing air, we will say with great faith and confidence, as we always have, be with me, Lord. I cannot live without Thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. You are my God. You have always been my God. You have always blessed me and been with me, and I will lean upon and trust in Thee. I want to say something to you about this idea of be with me, Lord. That we would learn to say that we would be more vigilant in saying, not when things are hard, but when we wake up in the morning and begin our day, be with me, Lord. I dare not live without Thee. I try, my very best, to depend on you every moment of every day, that there's great power there for us because he is Almighty God and he is eternal. I want you to think about with me some of the characters in the Bible who have said the same thing. Moses. Moses said, "Be with me, Lord." Moses says to the Lord in Exodus 33, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all of the people who are on the face of the earth. If your presence does not go up, do not send us. We can't move without you." Is that not the phrase, "Be with me, Lord"? Joshua says, "Be with me, Lord," over and over again. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, God says to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." How many times did Joshua fall on his knees and upon his face and say, "Be with me, Lord. I am stepping into uncharted territory that you know very well. Be with me, Lord." What about Samson? Didn't think I'd pull him out, did you? Samson is one who said, "Be with me, Lord." In Judges 16, Samson called to the Lord, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take the vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." Samson took hold of the middle pillars which supported the temple, and he breached himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. He pushed with all of his might until the temple fell, so that he killed more Philistines in his death than he had killed in his entire life. Samson, in his blindness, in the last day of his life, said, "Be with me, Lord. I cannot live without thee." What about David? The Psalms written by King David. Look at Psalm 31 with me. I want to show you a psalm here, and this is very intentional. One of our members who chose this hymn as number one, the comment was this, Psalm 31. And they simply said, "It's out of my hands." Psalm 31 and verse 14. "But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. In the presence of the sons of men, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of man, you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." Psalm 31. Verses 14 through 20 were added in the comment box in the simple statement, "It's out of my hands. Be with me, Lord. May your face shine upon me. Deal with those who treacherously deal with me, who bring strife and anguish into my life. Deal with them according to your mercy and according to your justice. But don't leave my side, Lord." David the psalmist, "Be with me, Lord." Now, this is important for us because it's the same God who we cry out to. He is the same. Noah said, "Be with me, Lord." Abraham said, "Be with me, Lord." Isaac and Jacob said, "Be with me, Lord." Elijah, he said, "Be with me, Lord." Isaiah, Daniel, in a foreign land with a heart devoted and given to God his entire life, Daniel said, "Be with me, Lord." Solomon, "Give me wisdom, dear God." Solomon said, "Be with me, Lord." Jehoshaphat, "Be with me, Lord, as I establish judges in all of the cities." Hezekiah was told he would die, and he rolled over on his bed. He faced the wall, and he said, "Be with me, Lord." God gave him 15 years. Ezra, his prayer is recorded for us, "Be with me, Lord." Nehemiah, Job. Job said, I don't understand, but I want to speak to you about this, Lord. I don't understand. Help me. Be with me. Do not leave me in my pain, in my anguish, as I scrape these boils from my skin. Be with me, Lord. Read them. Read about them. Not one of these individuals was left behind, or did God abandon. Not one. He is God. He is eternal. And we cry to him now and we wonder, can he do it? Does he understand the size of my storm? Of course he does. He's always been there for those whose hearts were loyal to him and faithful to him. Be with me in this moment. Be with me now. He wants us to read about these people in the Bible so we can ask ourselves, what did he do with them? What did he do for them? Are they not recorded for our understanding and for our learning? I want to finish with Matthew 28 because we're going to take it from the words of Jesus. Matthew 28 and verse 18, this is what our risen Savior, our Lord, and our Christ has said for each one of us. Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to his apostles saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe the things that I have commanded you. And lo, consider this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Hebrews 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be with me, Lord. Be with us all.